Give it a go.
All right. She's a beautiful fool, but an ugly intellectual. She disregards the rules, but they tie her down. She can't make a sound. She's cynically optimistic, unintentionally cryptic. She's not free yet, but she wants to be. Oh, she's a spirit in disguise. She's a goddess with a knack for climbing trees. She's a maniac and she'll dance alone in the middle of the street. She's radiant but fragile. There's a universe behind each smile. She's not free yet, but she wants to be. Oh, she's a spirit in disguise. Spirit in disguise.
Yeah, feels good.
It is time for Talking Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown Community radio station. I am your host, Taya J. I am joined today on the show by Olive Klug. Such an honor to have you here with us, Olive, joining us from Nashville just before tour. Thank you for making time to chat with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I do a lot of things here at the radio, but I recently started volunteering some time to do a morning music show, and that's how I discovered you, and it just felt like such a gem to learn a little bit about your music. I'm wondering if you, just to ground our listeners, will talk a little bit about how you describe what you do.
That's a great question. I feel like I'm influenced by so many genres, but at the end of the day, I am a folk singer-songwriter. I think that there's so many different ways to be a folk singer-songwriter. And I'd like to believe that my music is unique in some ways. I think that, if you have to pick a genre, that's the genre. I think that I delve into a lot of personal topics to me. I really use music as a way to process and cope with my emotions. So I do see my music as very kind of confessional and emotional. And it's definitely a form of like catharsis for me to write a song and share it with the world. So if you like to have feelings, I'm the right person to listen to, I think. I do feel like my music is very much like representative of what I'm going through in the moment that I'm going through it. Of course, it takes some time to record and release a song, but when I write it, it's really a representation of like what I'm feeling the moment that I write it. And so I really do feel like it's like a lot of just what it's like to be me at whatever age I'm at, what it's like to be me at whatever point in the world I'm at, what it's like to be me going through a breakup, going through like my first love, whatever it is. I do think it's just like an accurate representation of what I'm going through at any given moment. And it can be really incredible because it's a great way for me to process things. But at the same time, it can be strange to have these songs in my arsenal that like represent such a specific moment in my personal development and then kind of have to play them years later. Like, for example, I have this song called Self-Help that I wrote when I was 24. And it's about like, oh my gosh, the person I was 3 years ago would be so proud of me. And now I'm 27 and it's been 3 years since I actually wrote that song. And I've been through so much and I've been through a lot of really hard things. Whereas I think that timeline from when I was like 21 and 24, it was like mostly just positive personal growth. And like now from 24 to 27, it's gotten a lot more complex. So it is strange to sing that song. And I know that's like a lot of my fans really like that song, but it's really strange to sing that song live. So it is strange to kind of grow with your songs and like, yeah, some of them just represent a person that I really no longer feel I am, but it's, I don't know, I'm trying to like make peace with like paying homage to that person who wrote the song by singing it again, but not necessarily feeling like I have to still feel connected to it in that moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, and then there's that whole added layer of once you put it out there, your audience is going to resonate with it on a very personal level too. And so then it takes on this completely different meaning that you never could have predicted or imagined.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've definitely had people express all these stories of how my songs have influenced them. And sometimes it's in completely different ways than I meant for the song to be portrayed. I think that my song Raining in June, people have really, I think it's like kind of laced with a lot of metaphor. And so people have responded to it in so many different ways. I've had people think it was like about an abusive relationship. I've had people think that it was about like grief and like the death of somebody, when in reality, it's for me, it's not about either of those things. It was truly just about like my tendency, like my escapist tendencies. But I think it's really beautiful that I can like take on that completely different meaning for other people.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, do you think it's important for people to know the meaning of your songs?
No, I don't think so. I think it's more important for people to create their own meanings and to ascribe their own meanings to it, even if it is like based on what they think I was writing about.
That's Raining in June from Olive Klug. Olive joining me today on Talkin' Music. I know for you, Olive, you hadn't necessarily planned on becoming a singer-songwriter. You went to school to become a social worker, and you had considered music more of a hobby, and then the pandemic hit. Can we talk about some of the decisions that led you to commit to your creative practice, which I can certainly attest to is a really big and scary thing?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was really just, it was a combination of a lot of things. I was working these really taxing, difficult jobs that I didn't really feel prepared for. And I also didn't feel like I had the life experience to really be like advising people in the way that I was. I was working at a teen rehab when I was 22, and I was like, well, I've never been through substance use addiction, and I'm also only like 4 years older than a lot of these people. And I'm like, how am I supposed to be like actually helping people? And then I was also teaching preschool, and I was really bad at it. I think that like I have experience with kids, but like not with young kids. And it was like 2020, and it just turns out that like teaching preschool is really hard unless you're like super into that. Anyways, so I was just kind of feeling discouraged and like not really sure where I was going with my like kind of like social work leaning career. And at the same time, I was posting my music on the internet, and I was really finding a sense of community there and a sense of excitement and like a sense of belief in the potential for my music to reach a wider audience for the very first time. And it was also, again, it was 2020 and 2021, so I wasn't really seeing a lot of friends. So I would really look forward to going home at night, or like, you know, being at home all day and then going live online and like seeing, you know, 10 people talking to me while I was playing my songs. I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a great sense of community. And it was also where a lot of people who I believe to be like very successful big names in the folk music scene now, we were all kind of there just posting our music online. It was like a lot of people who are now kind of in their mid to late 20s were either still in college during the pandemic or had just graduated like me. And we were like very confused and lost, and we were really connecting. And now it's so cool to have seen those people become really prominent names in the folk scene, from like little just lives on TikTok to like being, I don't know, like Lizzie McAlpine is like playing stadiums. So it's just been such a interesting, fun journey to be doing that. But yeah, I'm really glad that I made the decision. And you know, I might in a couple years go back to the original plot of the movie of going into social work. But for right now, I'm really enjoying being a musician. I have no regrets of like kind of straying from that path.
Right. A couple things come to mind as you're talking. I think that changing definition of community, like community really, the way we knew community prior to the pandemic really changed. And I guess that idea that actually opened doors for a lot of people is a really nice way, I think, to look at it. The other thing that came to mind is just this idea that everything is interconnected, right? Like it's all our individual experiences. So there's nothing to say that your passion for or your understanding or your interest in social work doesn't somehow also inform your songwriting. How do you respond to that?
Oh, definitely. I think that a lot of the people who come to my shows are like, oh yeah, I'm like a therapist or I'm a social worker. Or like I've just noticed such a pattern with the type of people that come to my shows and like my music. I do feel like there's a, I mean, not to brag or anything, but it does feel like there's some form of like a therapeutic element to my music, just based on the fact that like I talk a lot about my own mental health in my music. And I think that that's relatable for other people. So I do feel like it absolutely shows up in my music. And I'm sure I've actually heard that my music has shown up in people's therapy rooms as well. Like people are like, oh yeah, I like analyzed your song with my therapist. It was very helpful. So I think that's really cool that it's like it's still showing up in that way of being some form of support for people's mental health and it being also a form of support for my own mental health in some ways.
I'm such an advocate for sad and melancholic songs. Do you feel similar?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I love sad, melancholic songs. I love to just, yeah, be re very real in my songs. And I think something that I think is changing with my music is I think for my first album, I kind of felt this responsibility to tie things up in a nice bow for people, kind of like even if it was a sad, melancholic song, like finding a way to end it in a way that like is objectively hopeful. But I went through a lot right after I released that album, and it kind of made me change my perspective. I'm like, I don't need to like tie things up in a nice bow. I can just let it be messy and let it be just a genuine representation of my feelings. And I don't have to like make sure that every song is positive or hopeful in some way, which I feel like I did on my first album.
she was a sailor stationed at the Northern Bay. Aimlessly inspired, I was making my way up and down the interstate. I was just along for the ride when we locked eyes, drowning out the screams of the party behind us. Only 2 short days until I'm headed out to leave. Couldn't help but lose myself in a fantasy where you would sail me away. We'll throw our troubles off the bow, find shelter from the storm, lay here with me now. We'll sing until our hearts sink deep down into the blue, some drunkenly waltzing in some smoky saloon. And each morning when we wake up, the horizon will be new. Through every ocean, every sea, I will be true. So baby, sail me away. We'll watch the world as it floats by. We'll gaze at every star, asking every why. Oh, someday our life on land will be a distant memory. Through every ocean, every sea, stay true to me.
We just heard Sailor Song from Olive Klug. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on your Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. Can we talk about the banjo?
Yeah.
Tell me about the banjo. What do you love about the banjo?
What do I love about the banjo? I just love the sound. I've always loved the sound of the banjo. I think that I have a very... I always like to push myself out of my comfort zone because I think I make the best art when I'm like pushing myself out of my comfort zone. Some of my, you know, most popular songs have been songs that aren't on my main instrument. Like I play Raining in June on piano and another song Faking It on piano, which people really love. And that's definitely not my main instrument. And I bought a banjo kind of on a whim. I was like going to a music store to buy some like quarter inch cables. And then I saw this banjo and I was messing around with it. And I was like, oh, this actually isn't as hard as I thought it would be. And so I just bought it. And then I ended up writing this song on the banjo. People liked it. And now I live with like this, these two of my roommates. They're like actually incredible banjo players. And so I'm feeling very inspired all the time to like deepen my understanding of the instrument. But yeah, I'm like really glad that I pushed myself out of my comfort zone by recording that song, because I really didn't know how to play the instrument before recording the song.
That's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that. I have a dear friend here who built a bojo. So it's shaped like a banjo, but he actually bows it with a bow. And it's fascinating and beautiful and just such an interesting interpretation of the banjo. I think the banjo is just complex to me. It feels like such a complex instrument in the best way, that you can really just play and explore with it.
Yeah, it is very complex. And yeah, there's like so many different ways to play it. There's so many different traditional styles. There's so many different ways you could play it untraditionally. And yeah, it's a very interesting instrument.
Well, I might know a little more than you about girls and curls and the weight of the world, but I don't know quite what to do. Thinking of you. You were the flame.
itself too well in aimless driving. As I make my way to New York City, I think of the way that you called yourself pretty and wonder what kind of word you might use for me. I know deep in my heart that we could never be. Cause I know that you don't know what to make of me.
Olive, you've talked a little bit about just the trajectory of your creative experience and the different versions of yourself you've experienced. What are the stories that you want to be telling right now?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yeah, I mean, I think just kind of going back to this idea of not feeling like I have to make things nice and pretty and tie things up in a like hopeful, nice bow, because I think that as I get more grounded, the material conditions of my life become more chaotic, if that makes sense. And I think that that's really opposite to what a lot of my peers and like old friends are doing right now. I feel like as people enter into their late 20s, I see a lot of people getting very stable jobs, buying houses, getting married. And I'm kind of like just getting pushed by my career and my desires and my circumstances into like further into kind of a nonconformist lifestyle. So I think that that is the story I want to tell. My next album is going to be called Lost Dog. And it's just kind of about feeling like as you get older, that charm of being somebody who is a lost person or is like nonconformist, it gets a little less charming as you get older. But I like, it's about making the decision to lean deeper into that instead of leaning deeper into a more traditional lifestyle.
That's folk artist Olive Klug joining me today on Talkin' Music. I'm your host, Taya J. To find out more about Olive, you can visit their website, oliveklug.com. That's Klug with a K. We're going to go out with Olive's song, Second Opinion. For more Talkin' Music programming, you can always visit our website, kvnf.org, or tune in on the KVNF mobile app. Thanks as always for listening.
My canvas is blank as a mirror. Paint me however you'd like. I'm getting hoarse from the small talk along. Through the night, stare at the clothes in my closet. They feel as foreign as stars. I try to sing to the way that I'm feeling, but I can't stand the sound of all six guitars. I put another book on the shelf of choices I made myself that now taste. Take another bag to Goodwill, find another look that could kill my sense of power. All of this stuff keeps on calling my bluff. Big opinions like petals of flowers. I tell a white lie, this one catches my eye, and you're legally bound to comply. But the problem is that I can't ever tell anyone. Thank you. second opinion, often a third and a fourth, before I make any decision. Does that mean I think things through, or how close of worth I put another fish on the line? Just another waste of my time. Catch and release, write another long list of goals. Even if I win the roll, I'll never find peace. All of these words keep on getting misheard, cause I don't even know what I mean. I tell the white lie with the standard reply that my life is an endless blue sky. But I couldn't, no, I couldn't tell you why. Keeps rushing by. This weak and fickle mind, it changes every day, but it never does who I am.